Welcome to Future in Focus, a podcast on wealth and legacy planning. I'm your host, Antoinette M. Solomon, attorney, business strategist, and founder of the Law Offices of Antoinette M. Solomon, a boutique transactional law firm where we help business owners and individuals structure, protect, and grow what they've worked hard to build. This podcast is an extension of that mission. Because while I provide the legal tools, strategy, and structure to build generational wealth in my law firm, this is where we have the real conversations, the stories, the mindset, the strategy, the shift. Because the biggest barrier to wealth building isn't money, it's mindset. And no matter how much you make, if you don't change how you think about money, legacy, ownership, and control, you'll find yourself stuck in the same cycle. So whether you're just getting started or deep in your wealth building journey, you're in the right place. Today, you're beginning where all real wealth building begins, with the shift that changes everything, the mindset. Okay, so we've been taught our entire lives that if you make more, if you save more, if you invest more, everything will fall into place, right? But I've seen what happens when someone earns more without thinking differently. I've even experienced it myself. And I've seen what happens when someone who earns less but thinks strategically builds wealth. For example, I know a woman, she made about 80 grand a year. It wasn't a ton of money. But by the time she came to me, she had a wealth manager who was managing assets over $300,000, all while making 85 grand a year because she thought differently. It wasn't that she needed to make more money. It was all about mindset. Mindset is the gatekeeper, the multiplier, the difference maker. You don't need $1 million to start building wealth. You need to think like someone who understands what wealth actually is. So let me talk about what that shift looked like for me. So I was raised by a single mom who worked hard to make ends meet. We didn't have much, but we had enough. You know, rent was paid, food was on the table, light stayed on, and that's what safety looked like to us. There wasn't any extras, though. No vacations, no cushion. Scarcity wasn't uncomfortable. It was familiar. It was really safety. And that mindset stayed with me all the way through law school. I worked hard. I went to school. I followed the rules and I ended up in law, right? And it was there that I was surrounded by debt and stress, that I first was exposed to something radically different, Black comfort. I saw people who looked like me, but lived differently. Families who owned their own homes, they had in-ground pools, they were going on vacations with the entire family. It was generational support. And for the first time, I realized that I had been playing small, not because I lacked ambition, but because I hadn't seen it any other way. So from there, right, I climbed the corporate ladder. I was at the big firm, then I eventually transitioned into Manhattan. I was at hedge funds. But while working in Manhattan, something started to shift. I started to experience crazy anxiety. Not about the work, but what would happen if I couldn't do the work? What if I got sick? What if I hurt myself? What if I lost my job? What if my income stopped? It wasn't like I was financially supporting my entire family, but my success had allowed me to give my family the space to focus on themselves and to build their own wealth. It gave them the room to breathe. The thought of that being taken away, it rattled me so severe that it sent me to therapy. Literally, I went to therapy for financial insecurity. While in therapy, I started unpacking a lot of these, you know, issues, and we'll call it financial trauma because I was in this sort of scarcity mindset. This was how I grew up. So while in therapy, we started working through those issues. And that's when the shift began. I started seeing safety not as control or clenching, but as trust, gratitude, and choice. I started leaning into opportunity instead of trying to brace for disaster. And most importantly, I started to believe in me. That's where my confidence came from. And that's when I stepped into what I now call my effort era. All bets are off. It wasn't a reckless effort. It wasn't rude. It was just rooted in the fact that I knew who I was, that I was confident, and I knew that no matter what happened, as long as I had God, I knew I would be fine. So from there, I was like, whatever happens to this job, to this, I'll be fine. F it. I'll pivot. I'll restructure. I'll figure it out. That mindset shift honestly freed me. It was the most exhilarating I'd ever felt in a long time. I was still making a ton of money, you know, still making all the good money. After I left that first job in Manhattan, I eventually transitioned into the financial behemoth that is Goldman Sachs, right? And when I got there, it was like I had made it. It was like I had just won a championship. I was making all this money. I was able to put Goldman Sachs on my resume. Listen, it was the dream. To most people, it was the dream. It was my dream. And for a moment, I finally felt like I had made it. But honestly, y'all, 6 months in, I was miserable. And I was never somebody who took jobs or anything like that personally. I just kind of went to work, did my job, did a good job, and came home because I had a life. But in that space, it was something that was just not meshing with my spirit. It wasn't just the culture or the work. It was like I'd finally got clarity on what it meant to be free. And I'd finally done all the internal work, and I could no longer ignore the truth. The truth was I didn't belong there. Not because I wasn't capable. It was because I still was building someone else's legacy. And to me, that just does not work for me. So I think I had shifted so far into abundance and purpose, I couldn't pretend any longer that a paycheck was enough. So after a girls' trip to London and Paris to see Beyonce, where she literally told me to quit my job, she did. She seriously did. It hit me. I literally said to my friends on that trip, y'all, I'm going to quit my job when I get back. They thought I was joking. They thought she's crazy. There's no way she's quitting her job. We came back. I went to work the Tuesday after Memorial Day. By Thursday, I walked into my boss's office. I thanked him for the opportunity and I gave my 2 weeks notice. When I tell you, when I gave notice, it was like, oh my God, I felt weightless. I skipped out of his office. It was the greatest feeling I'd ever felt because it was freedom. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just knew that I couldn't be there anymore. And so I left and I waited and I kind of sat around for 2 months. And then that's when I started to work on what would make me happy. What could I do? Because I had built such an amazing skill set, right? I was in private equity. I was doing fund formation. I was doing billion-dollar deals and there weren't many girls or people that looked like me doing these deals. So I knew that I had an amazing skill set and I knew I needed to figure out a way to connect that to my community. And so that's where my firm sort of, the birth of my firm came from. And from there, I've never looked back. But none of that would have happened. None of it would have happened if I didn't change my mindset. Because let's be honest, right? When we start out with that scarcity mindset, what does it say? It tells us to hold on tight. Don't take risk because something bad might happen. The other shoe is going to drop. But how many of us are tired of that? I eventually transitioned into a strategy mindset, which was, how can I build this up? How can I create ownership for myself? How do I make this work twice, three times, four times? And what does protection look like so that whatever I build can be protected and passed down for generations? Scarcity is rooted in survival, but strategy is rooted in vision. And that mindset shift doesn't require a certain dollar amount. It requires discipline, exposure, and a decision to choose yourself. You can earn six figures and still be in survival mode. I know it because I was it. But what I changed was I changed my mindset and I started to understand what it meant to build wealth. And you can only start building wealth from a place of vision and clarity. So now let's talk about what we'll cover this season. Because, you know, these three pillars that I'm going to talk about, they guide everything that I do personally and professionally. So first, we're going to talk about ownership, right? Ownership means having control. It means equity. It means something that you could go out and actually leverage to get more assets so that you can serve the population better. It means something that has your name on it, right? Second, leverage, right? It's not about doing it all. You'll hear people, you'll hear stories about how they didn't do it all alone. They used other people's money, systems, skills, and that helped them grow bigger and faster. And then protection, right? Protection is how you make sure that it lasts for generations. You make sure that whatever you built doesn't fall apart. You want to have proper legal structure, insurance, partnership agreements. I cannot stress that enough. Trust. And this is how you keep what you've earned. This podcast will walk you through real strategies behind each of these principles. We'll talk to experts, we'll have real stories, and we'll break down what it looks like in real life, not just in textbooks. So let's talk about what's coming this season, because we've got great conversations. So put on your seatbelt and get ready, okay? Because this podcast is a blueprint. We're going to dig into real estate building blocks of wealth, the strategies that actually work. Not ones that sound cute online, but people who are still working, but are amassing a crazy real estate portfolio so that they can leverage that throughout their life and then potentially pass that down to their family. We'll get into entrepreneurship and why business ownership is still one of the fastest, most powerful ways to build wealth. I'm bringing on a guest who scaled her business and kept her sanity so we could talk real growth, mistakes, and how to protect what you build. We're going to break down estate planning and asset protection because, like I said, wealth without protection is temporary. You'll never be able to pass it on. Remember this, 70% of wealth is lost between the first and second generation. 70%, okay? I can't stress it enough. It needs to be protected. We'll dive into life insurance, not just as a safety net, but as a strategic wealth building tool, because not everybody knows that you can actually use life insurance to start businesses, to get you out of debt, to do home improvements. Life insurance is a financial tool. It's not just something that pays out a death benefit when somebody dies. Under all of that, right? Through all of that is taxes. So we're going to have a tax strategist come on, and he and I are going to break down each of those strategies to really get to how do we lessen our tax bill? Because that's my goal. I don't know about you. I'm not trying to give a bunch of money to the IRS. So I always try to talk to tax strategists about lowering my tax bill. Every episode is designed to leave you smarter, sharper, and more prepared. It's not about perfection. It's about progress with intention. So whether you're already on the path or you're just taking the first step, this season is here to help you build with vision, grow with strategy, and protect with confidence. If there's one thing I want you to take away from this episode, it's this. Abundance is free-flowing, but you cannot step into it until you free yourself from old thoughts. Mindset is the gatekeeper. Change it, and everything else becomes possible. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone you care about. Make it a conversation. Subscribe to the show. Maybe even leave a review. It helps others find this space. This is Future in Focus, a podcast on wealth and legacy planning, where strategy meets legacy. Until next time.